Thanks for tuning into the ES First podcast. We'd love to connect with you on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. So take a minute to hop on over and give us a like or a follow. And of course, if you're ever in Excelsior Springs, stop on by. We can't wait to welcome you home.
Yeah, we're glad you're here. ES First preaches through books of the Bible, and we are preaching through the book of Hebrews. We have gotten to the end of Hebrews. We got two chapters left. We are in the second to last chapter, which is chapter 12. Chapter 11 was all about faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's actually the things that we use to create the vision of which God has given us. He has a plan and a future for us. The Bible says that you are his masterpiece, that he's planned things before you were ever born. When he was creating you, he created your purpose. Faith is us believing in his word, his promises, what he says, operating in the way he says to operate in order to fulfill the things which he has planned for us long ago. Make sense? So we're talking about faith, and we've talked about all the great heroes of the faith, and we talked about everything they did, and it's kind of exciting. It's like, I want to do that. It's a vision of what is possible, and God, can you do that through me? And it'd be so exciting if I could just be a person of faith. And then he follows it up with this chapter. He says, therefore, since all these people did all these things, and you have Jesus Christ, which is more powerful than anything, therefore you need to run a race. You need to run a very long race. You need to stay consistent. You need to be faithful with what God has put you in and placed you in. And you'll be a person of faith as you walk in faithfulness. So faithfulness is one of those things that we don't like to talk about too much, because faithfulness is really, what it means is hard work. It means sticking with it. What it means is believing beyond any possible circumstance. It means being on God's side, even when everybody else is not. It means hanging in there when you feel like giving up. It means, like, when your fingers are about to slip, taking another grip and hanging on again and again and moving forward in what God has you to do. And so he persists, likens it to a race. He says every runner is looking forward to a race, and they're going to stay persistent and consistent. It's a marathon. Even when you hit mile 18 and your body gives out, like, it's often a lonely, lonely race, but it is worth it if you'll stick with it. That's faithfulness. And so he comes, like, to verse 4. And he talks about something that most of us don't like to really even acknowledge. I mean, faithfulness is one thing. Faithfulness is like, okay, I need to be faithful. I need to stick with it. But then he goes, I want you to be disciplined. Disciplined. Turn to the person next to you and say, you need to be disciplined. If you don't like what they just said, just slap them. It's fine. Get my permission. Let's look in Hebrews chapter 12 and let's read it for ourselves. Here we go. In your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Aren't you glad? And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says this, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. He chastens every loose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children, for what children are not disciplined by their father if you are not disciplined? And everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Glory to God. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. And that's it. Strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the grace of God that leads us to repentance. It draws us to you. It turns our path, straightens us out. And I thank you for faithfulness, Lord, the gift of the Spirit that says we'll stick with it. And it comes from you, your power. Lord, I pray today in this room as we study your word, as we hear from you, that you would grow us into the people that you always dreamed us to be. That we'd be stronger, more in depth, ready to go and we would do the impossible, the supernatural, because of your grace upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. So discipline. Nobody likes discipline, right? Raise your hand if you like discipline. Anybody? Okay. I had a good dad growing up, and in this passage, he likens God to a father. So we'll start there. I had a good dad growing up, and my dad was one of those kind of dads that you did not do certain things around. You know what I mean? Like some dads, you know, like TV dads, you can just kind of like be sarcastic and throw stuff in their face. And one time I tried to be like sarcastic to my dad. It didn't go over so well. I was disciplined into learning that I was not supposed to be sarcastic to my dad. You know what kind of discipline that was? It was not pleasant. My dad has a way of commanding your attention. One time Ali told you about words that he would make up. He said he had this word plinko meninko. We don't know what that means. But it means this. For us, in his own language, it means that whatever you're doing, stop doing before I spank the crap out of you in private. Okay? That's what it means. So you'd be off running around doing something, say plinko meninko. And you're like, and sometimes that meant, I'm going to spank you. And sometimes it meant, don't do that or you will get a spanking. Either way, we straightened right up. My dad was the kind of disciplinarian that one time he was preaching and Allison was on the front row and she was not acting appropriately. And so he said, excuse me, everyone, put the microphone down, went down, picked up Allison, walked to the back room, spanked the crap out of her, came back and sat her down on the front row, tears and all, and proceeded to preach. That's discipline. One time I was a kid and I had a friend that was around the way and we would go ride bikes and I was like, Dad, can I go ride my bike? And he said, yeah, of course you can ride your bike. I said, okay, awesome. He said, whatever you do, don't go down the street and get Danny, play with Danny. And I was like, okay. So I went down the street, took a left, took a right. There was Danny sitting right there in the yard. Must have been a sign from God, right? Danny, come on, man, let's go ride bikes. So we rode bikes for like all afternoon and we were sweaty and messy and everything else. And so, you know, when you're a kid, you sometimes have short-term memory loss and you just drive home. And me and Danny were together and we walked into the front of the house and there was Danny and there was me. And my dad says, hey, Brandon. Hey, Danny, how you doing? Danny went downstairs to hang out for a minute. And I said, hey, Dad. He says, hey, Brandon, I thought I told you not to go get Danny. And I said, oh, well, I wasn't, you know, I didn't. Go get Danny. I mean, what does this look like? Like, I would just blatantly disobey you. I said, I was just driving by, and Danny happened to be there, and he just kind of jumped out on the street and just started following me. What was I supposed to do? Hey, Danny, go back home. I'm not supposed to play with you. So we rode around, and he says, no, that's a lie. I said, what do you mean that's a lie? He said, I asked Danny. Now, 3 days later, I thought I had escaped the discipline that was awaiting me for going to get Danny. And it was a Sunday night, and on Sunday nights, everybody would come over after Sunday night church. That's an old school thing, you know, like wall phones, Sunday night church, thing of the past, right, for most people. And Sunday night, everybody comes over, and, you know, I'm like, it's like 8 o'clock, and everybody's hanging out, having pizza. And I'm like, it's late. I'm gonna go to bed, guys. God bless you, you know, and thanks for coming over. And I go lay down, and pretty soon I'm asleep. And my mom comes up in my room, and she taps my shoulder. Brandon, Brandon, Brandon. I'm like, hey, what's up, Mom? It's like, Dad sent me up. He wanted to see if you wanted a cookie. You want a cookie? And I said, Mom, no, I'm sleeping. Why would I possibly want a cookie? And actually, I said, yes, please, I'd love a cookie. So I ate the cookie, laid back down, went to sleep. Pretty soon, my dad came up into the room, and he said, son, remember when you lied to me about going to get Danny? I said, well, I'm trying to forget it, but if you want to bring it back up, then fine. And he proceeded to say that lying is not okay, and disobeying me is not okay. And he said, bend over. Pull your pants down, put your hands on the bed. I said, I don't want to put my hands on the bed. He said, put your hands on the bed. I said, I don't want to put my hands on the bed. He said, put your hands on the bed. I put my hands on the bed. He pulled out his belt, whipped my little white behind until it was red. And not in a bad way, not in a bad way. At an appropriate level And then he said, son, I love you. He had a funny way of showing it, son, dad. And he gave me a hug, and I'm bawling my eyes out. And I love you, and I care for you. And I said, okay. So I went to bed, and I've never thought about that since. That's false. Okay. Why would he spank me 3 days later, offer me a cookie, hug me and all that stuff? Why would he do that? For discipline. For discipline. Because he had a dream about who I was supposed to be, and it did not include blatantly disobeying his leadership, his authority, and the person I love, and going down the street and coming back and lying about it. You know somebody who's a liar? You wonder how many times they got spanked for it? Maybe they got spanked a lot for it. Do you think the person who was loving them did a good job? Maybe they let them slip too many times. Maybe they just said, oh, it's fine. They're a good kid. They're not doing too bad. Whatever that is. But a person who loves you will help shape you into the person you're supposed to be, and it's called discipline. Now, a lot of times we look at this certain passage, and we look at this word chasten or chastisement, and we go, oh, yeah, we know what that is. God is chastising those he loves. And we begin to twist it and to make it into something that it is not. Because we all know people that go through hard times, and we go through disaster, and we go through hurricanes and earthquakes and hard times, and stuff happens, and then we go, well, God is just chastising you to make you better. We even have spiritualized it to the point where we'll say things like, well, it's just my cross to bear, right? I think that because Jesus carried the cross that paid for our freedom, paid for our debt, paid for our healing, that somehow God in his infinite power would come down to his children and give them cancer. He would put them in a wreck that would be near fatal. That he would put them in such a way that they would learn their lesson. And of all the times that I lied to my dad, that was one. He never came in and said, son, go out and lay in the driveway. Start up the car and back over my legs 3 times. He never did that. Why? Because it's not productive for the dream he had for my life. Okay? And sometimes in our life, we look at discipline and we think that God's all powerful, and we miss out on the fact that Jesus addressed him as Father. He says, when you actually pray to this infinite being before Jesus, they didn't have a name for God. They just kind of whispered vowels and had a very sacred thing about this infinite being. And Jesus comes down and says, I want you to approach God as Father. So before that, it was like this crazy idea of cosmic power, and God says, or Jesus says, that God is so intimate and intricately involved in every part of your life that he wants to direct you and guide you into the best thing for you. And sometimes he uses discipline, but he doesn't use destruction. Think about that. He doesn't use destruction. And sometimes we're trying to figure out life and we're trying to process how something bad could happen to us. And the only comforting thing we can find to that is like, well, God is chastising me. And we feel like we have to carry something because maybe God has put this on me to make me a better person. But in fact, God doesn't destroy your life to teach you something. He is a good father who is guiding you and leading you. And though sometimes discipline hurts, and sometimes discipline is tough, and sometimes you have to endure hardship, he will never put on you more than you can bear. And that's a good father. He doesn't tempt you with evil. He doesn't fill you with the demonic. He doesn't plague you with nightmares and anxiety and depression so that you can learn your lesson, or just say, that's yours, you carry it. Because the last time I checked, Jesus carried his cross for the freedom of his family. There's some stuff that I had to endure that my dad never even knew that I had to endure. But if he knew that I had to endure it, he would have intervened. Some stuff in your life you're enduring because you won't let God intervene in those areas of your life. On Tuesday night, Doug Reed talked about unforgiveness and bitterness. And sometimes we are carrying unforgiveness and bitterness, and we're living with these things, talking about it's our cross to bear and why did I have to go through this, when in fact, if you'd bring it to God, it would be a completely different story. And so discipline is something that we grow in, that God wants to take us through so we can become all that he has dreamed us to be. So let's just start really simply. My dad, one time when I was about 14 years old, maybe I was 15 years old, he says, "Son, it's time we start to talk about discipline." Sounds like a great conversation, doesn't it? You need to grow some disciplines in your life. Okay, now, for those that don't know, I am a snoozer, which means that I had an awesome 80s alarm clock. It was white, looked like it was from Star Wars. It's awesome. And it had like one tone. It didn't have 19 different. It's like, right? And I conditioned myself not to hear that. That's how good I am, right? And so this alarm clock would go off, and I would just like reach over, snooze it. I could snooze for up to 3 hours, right? True story. Blocks are good. The blocks can sleep through anything. You want to know how we learned? Because we would come to church, and our church service would last like 4 or 5 hours, and our parents would just put us under the pew, and we would sleep there until church was over. We could sleep through. We could sleep through anything. His son, you need to grow some disciplines. You need to get up every morning at 6 a.m. It's like, Dad, I don't have to be at school till like 8:30. I mean, this 8:25 thing is working great for me. Got that in. True story. He says, you need to, every day you need to make your bed, clean your room. I said, well, I like my space the way I like it. I mean, this is just comfortable for me. I'm just expressing myself. No, you need to grow some discipline, son. And then he told me, he said, son, remember the other day you were talking about Adam Jones? And Adam Jones was, I mean, it sounds like a joke because Adam Jones is such a generic name. Adam Jones was like the ultimate like athlete. Like everybody wanted to be like Adam Jones. His dad was a banker, perfect family, had perfect hair, everything Adam Jones was, I wanted to be. And he said, Adam Jones, you said you were going to go hang out with Adam Jones, but he couldn't go play with you. He couldn't go hang out with you because he had to dust his room. Remember that, Brandon? I said, yes, I do remember that, Dad. Are you judging me according to Adam Jones' standard? Because I do that every day, and it's not pleasant. He said, you need to develop those kind of disciplines so you can become the person you're supposed to be. Now, for a person who had his room just the way he liked it, every day would come home and place his clothes wherever he felt necessary to create the environment in which he would like to live. Discipline of cleaning your room, making your bed, getting up at 6 a.m. did not feel all that good, did it? You know what this is like. You ever come to the place in your life where you realize that the things you had developed in your life were not working? That they weren't like the final destination for you. They were a place where it was like you had like took a detour and you were at a resting spot, but if you remained here, you weren't going to become what you were supposed to become. You ever hit that point? And usually, we're not smart enough to catch it on our own. It takes something very painful to push us into the place of discipline. Our world comes crashing down. We lose something very important. We're broke for all of our life. We realize we have to save and invest and to manage our money. We have to figure out that we've been fired from every job because eventually we just come in 2 hours late too many times and they go, you know what, this isn't working out. Somehow the pain of life forces us into a place of discipline. But the good news is that someone can teach you discipline and you can put yourself through the discipline to become what you're supposed to be. So my father says, you know, you need to get up in the morning. And he said, you know, when that alarm goes off, you need to put your feet right on the floor, whether you feel it or not. Just get up, put your feet on the floor, and then just sleep there sitting up. No, he didn't say that, but I did that. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. You need to put your feet on the floor, get right up. You know, you need to be a tither and a saver and then live on 80%. He would begin to walk me through these things. He would instruct me how to put myself through disciplines that would make me into a person that would be worthy of being his son. Now, he always thought I was worthy. He always loved me, and he always called me son, but he wanted to develop me into the person that I was supposed to become. In the same way, God wants to develop you and put you into things so that you can learn to become the person he's said to be. So he says all sorts of stuff in his word so that you can become a faithful person. You can discipline yourself to the point of becoming what he wants you to be. So he says things like be a tither. He says study to show yourself approved. He says meditate on my word day and night. He says keep your mind stayed on me and I'll keep you in perfect peace. He just goes right down the line. And as you see those things as not mere suggestions, but ways that you can discipline your own self into becoming what you're supposed to be in Christ, you will grow into the person that he wants you to become. You'll, in a sense, begin to walk in your purpose as you fulfill the disciplines that he wants you to walk in. Now, the cool thing about discipline is you can begin to put yourself in discipline and avoid a lot harsher discipline, right? Like, for instance, have you ever had a car repossessed? Now, you don't have to raise your hand. This is just, you know, just hypothetical, just if you did. When they come and take your car, you're like, I guess I need to learn how to pay that bill. When you like asking people for rides to work, you're like, I guess I need to, right? Have you ever had garnished wages for not paying your notes, right? You begin to learn something. Have you ever woken up in a place where you were in darkness, you were in complete darkness, you didn't have a hope, you didn't know where you're supposed to go because you had neglected church for far too long? And you come back, you're like, I don't know what's going on in my life, but I need Jesus, right? And it's the same way. It's like, but as we begin to discipline ourselves, we can grow into what God wants us to be. That's one form of discipline. Now, everybody knows that as you begin to discipline yourself, there's a wonderful gift that God has given each and every one of us. You want to know what it is? The ability to go easy on yourself. Thank you, Jesus. Like when I'm running, like if I take off running, if I start to feel something in my side, I just stop running. You know what I mean? Like I'm done. Why? Because God blessed me with the ability to know better than to push myself too far, right? I love my dad, and hanging out with my dad, like sometimes he'd be like, I gotta watch myself. Now, if you know my dad, he pushes himself way too far most of the time. Like painting houses, playing 92 holes of golf in one day, you know, stuff like that. Really spiritual stuff. But he's been known to push himself too far. So like after his heart surgery, he would be like, I gotta eat like every 2 hours. I gotta make sure I'm eating vegetables. And you know, he takes really good care of himself. That's why he's as old as he is and acts and lives as young as he does. That and we're awesome. We keep him young. So, but there's something about my dad. He'd be like, you know, I gotta watch myself. I can't go any further. It's like, and we all have that kind of built-in process system where we go, you know what? I can't do that. Why? Usually it boils down to this. Well, that will hurt. If I do that, I'll push myself to the point of hurting too much. You know that I've lost some weight and I go to the gym and I'm really good at working out by myself. I know my limits and they're way below where I'm supposed to be. So I go to the gym and I work out and like, that's good enough for today. Now I go with Chuck and I'm like, yeah, that's good enough for today. And he says, no, that's not good enough for today. We got another hour and a half. Okay? And he pushes me way beyond what I want to go, but he knows how to take me to a place in which I'm not willing to take myself in order to better myself. Now, discipline is one thing. I can begin to tithe. I can begin to show up to church. I can begin to read the word. I can do all these things. And what happens is God goes, that's nice. You're spiritually very, very good to yourself. Now let me be spiritual good for you. Let me do something that does the body good, so to speak. And so he says, hey, there's that 21-day fast this year. I want you to do that. You're like, I'm really happy with my spiritual life where it is. You know, I don't want to fast for 21 days. The first time I talked about 21-day fast, people thought I was crazy. 21 days? Of not eating? I was like, well, you can have vegetables. Well, that's still, I don't eat vegetables, right, Chris? None of that sounds good to me. Well, if you will go through this discipline, I guarantee you will grow further than what you thought. So you start giving your 10%, you start tithing, you're like, oh, that's so good, man. I'm walking in the blessing of God. And God walks in one day and says, I want you to give $500. It's like, well, I already tithed, so you're not talking to me. In fact, $500 is all I got. So yeah, that's what I said. You know, I was budgeting. I had a whole savings plan. I said, yeah, would you trust me with it? He begins to take you through disciplines and things to know him in a greater way so you can become what he's dreamed you to be. Right? You came to a revival and you're like, I'm just going to go on Sunday morning. I'm going to hear Barry preach. It's going to be so great. They got that Monday and Tuesday. I don't know those guys. John Perkey looks like a crazy guy. He's hitting people and thing. Doug Reed looks like a nerd. He's got glasses and I don't know what it is. And by the way, I just can't go to church that many times. This morning I said, son, it's time to get up and go to church. And he goes, again? Because we've been here like 9 times this week. But you'll find that if you'll follow God in ways, you showed up to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you're here again on Sunday, all of a sudden you're like, man, I like this. Was it a little hard on Wednesday morning when I had to get up? Yeah, it was a little hard. I was there all night, but I feel so revived and refreshed. It's like when you get into the gym and every muscle in your body hurts and it burns and you can barely drive home, barely walk home, and then you get up in the next morning like, I gotta do that again. Something about when you grow in discipline and you see the benefit, it starts to energize you and move you to a place of wanting more discipline because you see the benefit. You see the benefit. Now, there's 2 types. I'm able to put myself into disciplines that God has brought to me, and this will always, always be a way for me to avoid sometimes the worst part of that discipline, right? If I learn to be a saver, if I learn to be an investor, manage my money, it will save me from the bitter lesson of having to be broke and have everything taken away, right? So I'm able to put myself under discipline so that I can grow in those areas and avoid the hardships of certain disciplines. But there are certain disciplines that can only be learned in hardship. And you can train, and you can train, and you can train, you can grow, you can put yourself under all sorts of disciplines, but the only purpose you put yourself in those disciplines is so you can be put into those hardships and grow even further. And so he talks about 2 different disciplines. He talks about the discipline of the Father who wants to train you up into what you're supposed to become, but there's a whole different side to a father. It's the father that stands you on the end of the high dive of the swimming pool. And even though there is water running down your leg that is not from the pool, he will shove you off because he knows even though it's hard, it is something that will grow you beyond your current limits. It is growing through endurance. Now let me repeat, God is not in the destruction business. He doesn't push you off a 12-foot high dive onto concrete. He sees the possibility and moves you beyond where you think you can go, hard the place that he knows you can go. He knows that hardship will grow you and he is willing to put you under it, but never destroy you through it. Oftentimes, we place all of these things on God. What we do is we think that struggling with something evil is often God, when in fact, he's put you in it to overcome it. Because God is a good God. Sometimes we have stuff in our life that is meant for us to wake up and realize all that God has called us to be and overcome that thing. To stand through that thing. It's amazing to me that Jesus would put his disciples into a boat, push them out into the water, into a place that it was a storm. And all these guys are sailors. They're used to being in boats. I mean, Peter fished for a living. Like his brothers, they did this thing. And they go out into the boat, and they knew the sea so well that when the waves came, that they say, we're gonna die! Do you think they were just freaking out? No. They knew the water. They knew the stock market. They knew the news. They knew what all of these things were going to become. Like, this is the worst kind. We're going to die. And where was Jesus? Sleeping. Sleeping in the boat to the point where they were so scared they're going to wake up and just, don't you care that we're dying? Sounds like a nice cakewalk across the lake, doesn't it? Don't you care that we're dying? Don't you care that I'm in this storm? Don't you care that this thing is too big for me and my skill set, too big for my expertise? And he says, where is your faith? And he walks to the edge of the boat and he speaks to the storm and he says, peace, be still. Peace, be still. This is one story on the water. Another story is it gets rocky. Jesus puts him out on the water and he's not even with them. You know where he is? Walking on the water. Because who wouldn't, right? Like, if I had enough faith to walk on water, I'd just be like, yeah, what's up, y'all? My brothers would be out there fishing for northern pike. Yeah, we got a big one. It's like, yeah, I'm just watching you walking, man. It's all good. So one time he's in the boat with them and he stills the storm. And the next time he doesn't still the storm, he sees Peter, or Peter sees him. And Peter says, if it's you, call me out there. And Peter walks on the water. Walks on the water. You notice that he didn't still the storm? He let Peter walk on the water in the storm. Two things that God will always do. He will either calm the storm or he will give you the peace and the faith to walk on the water of the storm. But oftentimes, we're too focused on ourselves to even know the discipline that it takes to walk in faith. And so he walks out there and he's chilling. He's like, Jesus, that's you, man. We're doing this thing. Me and you, me and you. And all of a sudden he starts to look around at the thing that he is walking on as if it can overcome him. And he begins to sink. At which point he cries out to Jesus and says, Jesus, save me. Jesus lifts him out of the water. And what's the first thing he says? Man, you did so good. He said, where's your faith? Where is your faith? O ye of little faith. Now, most people would hate on Peter and say, well, yeah, you know, yeah, that's what happens when you walk on the water and you lose faith. He's got a little faith, whatever. It's like, but I'm kind of encouraged by this story. First of all, because Peter stepped on the water and everybody else stayed in the boat. That he was so motivated by what God was doing out there, he would discipline himself to be obedient, even if everybody else stayed. And then when Jesus says, you of little faith, and he just walked on water, I'm kind of excited by that. Because if Peter could walk on water with just a little faith, I think I could have a little faith. Couldn't you? You got a little faith? You got a little bit of, you know, I think I could be pushed beyond my limits if I knew Jesus was out there. Are there things in your life where you are in a storm and you're trying to figure out, should I calm this thing or should I walk on this thing? If you could just see Jesus long enough to be disciplined and say, yes, I'll be obedient. Yes, I'll be faithful. Can you do something in this situation and be put through a hardship in which you know that you had the power to get through with Jesus? Discipline. When I work out with Chuck, there's a good thing that I know. He is not going to kill me. I may feel dead. I may feel like not going on. But I know that when we go to that gym, he will not let me hurt myself to the point of death. Wouldn't it be encouraging if you switched your focus that it, when you're enduring hardship, when you're enduring discipline, that God would always see you through? That we could say, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal victory. That we could say, God is for me, he's not against me. That if God is a delivering God, he saves and he makes free, that it is for freedom that I've been set free, that I can't sit back, I can't shut up, I can't just, you know, sit here and do nothing, but I'm gonna walk through this thing. And when I get to the end, I'm gonna tell my story. And people will know God in a greater way because of the discipline that I've endured. God doesn't bring destruction, but he brings hope. He brings victory. He brings more than enough. He doesn't take you through something so that you can be less. He takes you through so you can be more than you ever thought possible. You could be what he dreamed you to be. So, I'm going to give you a few points, then we're going to get out of here. Jesus Christ gave you the power that you need to endure the thing in front of you. Write that down. Jesus Christ gave me the power that I need to endure the thing in front of me. And usually, when we are faced with a hardship, when we're faced with something in front of us, we begin to size up if this is going to take us under or we can conquer this. But God has given to every person the measure of faith. And if he brings you to it, he can take you through it. Meaning that if it has been allowed, then he will give you the power and provision to get over, around, through, whichever way, and be victorious on the other side. So, you need to start saying, I have the faith for this. If you are looking at a rocky sea, you have the faith for this. If you're looking at a mountain, you have the faith for this. If you have the armies of Pharaoh chasing you down, you have the faith for this. If you are fighting battles in your mind, you have the faith for this. If you are wondering if you can accomplish the crazy thing that God has asked you to do, you have the faith for this. If you're wondering how your family can be saved, you have the faith for this. If you're wondering how you're gonna get past this legal battle or that thing or whatever it is today when you said, God, how can I get through this? You have the faith for it. God has given to every person the measure of faith. Whatever it takes, you got it in Jesus' name. Whatever it takes, you got it by the Holy Spirit alive and well in you. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in you. Last time I checked, you're not in a grave. So you got a way easier battle than what Jesus had. Try that one. When you're in the coffin, when you die, just say, okay, I got the faith. I got the faith to rise up out of this thing. You got the faith for your thing. Trust me. You can do it. The next thing. The more that it benefits you, the discomfort of doing becomes the glory of growing. This is the part we don't understand. Everybody likes a good shout. You got the faith for this. Get up out of that thing. God can do anything. Nobody likes go out there and work your butt off until you can lose the weight you're supposed to have. Go out there and burn them lungs until you can run 26.2 miles. Nobody likes that. But there's something about being in it that you begin to see the benefit that nobody else can see. Sometimes they're not even visible. When I begin to see the benefit of the doing, then I experience the glory of the growing. So waking up at 5 a.m. to read your Bible and spend time with God is not exciting until you start to do it. And then one day I see the benefit of it. And nobody else knows, but I do. And so I do it again. And I do it again. And the pain of doing becomes the glory of growing. Make sense? Becoming a tither is one of the toughest things that you'll ever do. Unless you start doing it and see the benefit of it. And then it becomes the glory of growing. Becoming a 20% tither, which is not really even possible because tithe means tenth. And it'd be like... But let's say you want to start giving 20%. People call you stupid. They'll think you're nuts. And you look at your checkbook and you think you're nuts. But all of a sudden, in doing that, you experience the glory of growing. Nobody else can sense it but you. You see the benefit and so you grow. Serving people, giving away food, going on a missions trip. Those kind of things nobody else can see the benefit of but you. But you experience the glory of growing. When you're raising your kids and you have the opportunity just to fly off the handle and whip the snot out of them like my dad did me when I was a kid, and you don't, you have the grace of God and you begin to see their needs. Because for every time my dad spanked me, which wasn't very often, there was 20 times that he took me to A&W Root Beer and bought me a root beer float and just talked to me about what I was going through. He began to grow me into the person that I was supposed to become. And guess what? Talking about those things with my dad was not really all that fun. But at the end of talking through and having him pray for me, I began to experience the glory of growing into what God created me to be. There's things that you do not want to do, but as you see the benefit, I wonder what today that you thought you were gonna quit this week, that you said, no, I'm not gonna do it anymore. I'm not gonna put myself through that, that today you need to go back and say, you know what, I'm gonna do it again. I'm gonna be up at 5 a.m. I'm gonna be up at 6 a.m. I'm gonna spend my night studying the word. I'm gonna try to read that Leviticus book again. That's kind of a crazy book, but I'm gonna try it. I'm gonna commit to being here on Wednesday night. I'm gonna make sure I'm on Sunday school. I'm gonna make sure that I go to the next level in my studying and showing myself approved. I'm gonna seek God greater. I'm gonna look for more things. Ways that you can put yourself in your own discipline so that when the hardship comes, you have the strength that it takes to get through it. You're here today and you came for whatever reason. Hopefully you came to experience the presence of God. That you said, God, speak to me today in this word. I believe beyond anything that God is speaking today in a greater way. He is calling you to faithfulness. You want to be a person of faith, a person that walks on water, that moves mountains, a person that walks across the Red Sea, that bears children in their very old age like Sarah. That can live in the blessing and leave generational blessings like Jacob, like Joseph. That can believe God for more than enough. You want to be that kind of person, then guess what? It's gonna take a little faithfulness. It's gonna take a little discipline. I can imagine every step of the way when Abraham was like, I heard God, and Sarah's like, what, you heard God? Like, yeah, you're gonna have a baby. Like, yeah, you're crazy. And they just started walking, and it took years and years and years that every day he had to decide, am I gonna discipline my mind? Am I gonna walk in faith in this thing? Am I gonna be faithful to the God who promises, or am I going to quit? Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't give up. You got a fighting chance. You have the faith for this. You can walk on the water or he will still the storm. Either way, it's up to you to believe God and walk on in it. God is more than enough and he is for you. Listen to this. Last thing. Whatever you're struggling with is not with God. He is on your side. Some stuff you've been embracing, talking about, oh, that's God. He's put me in this. He's whatever. It's not. He's on your side. My father, as much as he spanked me, he only spanked me to the point that it was good for me. And like I said, he never shoved me off a cliff. He never injected me with some kind of virus. He never kept me in the basement chained up. He never left me prisoner. He always looked for a way to grow me and assist me to become the person to exactly the level that I could bear. Last verse. This is the end of the Hebrews 12 verse in the Message. It says this. While we were children, our parents did what seemed to be best to them. But God is doing what is best for us, training us to live God's holy best. At the time, discipline isn't much fun. It always feels like it's going against the grain. But later, of course, it pays off handsomely. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes, and stand with me today? Lord, I thank you for the people in this room. That you're calling them to greater, that you've been giving them the measure of faith for everything they're going to go through. Lord, right now, I think we all could raise our hands and say, I want to be the disciplined person you've called me to be. I want to be the person that you've always dreamed of, God. I hear that voice. Cause me to have strength, to rise up in power, the power of the Holy Spirit, to do what you've called me to do, to be what you've called me to become, so I can become more than enough for every task at hand. Mature, disciplined, ready for the fight, ready for the race. In Jesus' name, amen. You give God a big praise today. Come on. Thank you.